This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, April 9th, and we just got done watching New Japan Pro Wrestling Sakura Genesis, which took place in front of a sold-out audience at the legendary Sumo Hall. And Damon, what a battle, what a war that we just got done watching between Kazuchika Okada and Katsuyori Shibata.
I think it's safe to say, Colin, I don't think that there's any doubt in anyone's mind that we're going to be talking about this particular match at end of the year time. This match was absolutely outstanding. You're right. What a fucking battle and a war. Oh, you know, we needed a week off, Colin, so that our bodies could prepare ourselves for that match. Because, and the week that was, what an interesting, jam-packed, lots to unpack, week for New Japan Pro Wrestling. But that match, man, that was the icing on the cake of what I thought was a really good show. Thoroughly enjoyed. Again, the undercard was the undercard, but there was, I'd say, more than a few little nuggets you could take away from it.
I think that the undercard was actually very good. There were matches on this card that I was not looking forward to at all. Especially the junior tag match, and even that match ended up being way better than I anticipated.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be good. I know that when we did the show that will never air.
We did record a show last week, ladies and gentlemen, but due to technical difficulties, traveling, whatnot, that's going to be one of our lost shows. Maybe we'll release someday.
That'll be in the vault. That'll be on the extras when we do the compilation DVD, the retrospective. Maybe on the 100th episode, we'll release show. Was that probably show 80, being that now this is show 80, right? Wasn't it?
Yes, that show that we recorded last week was technically show 80, but this is 80B, let's say.
Right, this is 80B. Oh boy, yeah. So I thought the junior tag match was better than expected. Listen, there was bullshit. Yes, there was stuff that's easily dismissible, but overall, I wasn't vomiting after this match. And then, like I said, little nuggets throughout the show. And I thought, shockingly, we saw maybe the most exciting 2-minute junior heavyweight title match, right?
I thought that was brilliant.
I thought that was amazing. I couldn't believe it, and neither could the crowd. The crowd lost their minds when that happened. And then, like I said, I think what will go down arguably is one of, you know, modern era New Japan, one of the best matches we have ever seen between two guys that were geared up and ready to go for it. How long did they go, Colin? Do you have the timestamp on their match?
As a matter of fact, Damon, I do.
Okay.
Okada and Shibata went 38 minutes and 9 seconds.
That's tremendous. Of nothing where you were looking for your phone. And once again, just brutality. I love the story of the match, Callum, in the sense of Okada. Like, there wasn't a question that Okada was the champion, right? There wasn't a question that Okada was, the company's, and again, we're being pro wrestling fans now, the best wrestler, right? He's their world champion, right? But he had to prove to Shibata, who continually throughout the match questioned his manhood, right? Questioned, how big a set of balls this guy has and how tough he was. And throughout the entire match, there were times where Okada had to, get involved. He had to prove his worth in that world. But he knew he was in over his fucking head, right? So he would bail out, or he would just get knocked the shit out of him. But there would be times in the match, again, where he would go back and try to do what he needed to do. And there was a spot in that match, and it was those, once again, New Japan's doing it seems to be the thing of this year and even past year is that hand-holding spot, right, Colin?
Yes, we've seen right. that time and time again in these Okada matches.
Right. And I like that. I like the fact that we continually see that throughout the story of Okada's run here. There was a point there where Okada, it almost seemed as though there was a line in the sand that said, okay, Okada, you've proved your worth in your toughness. Now after all that's said and done, now you have to defend your title because it's on shaky grounds right now. I love this match, man. I really did. And to me, it's in a year where Okada has just produced some of the best pro wrestling matches of all time, he's got to be in consideration for Wrestler of the Year for New Japan and the MVP of 2017.
Absolutely, and especially when you take into account that this guy is only 29 years old. He's not even in his prime yet.
It is amazing. And once again, listen, I'm not here. People like what they like. And we had a long conversation off the air of just talking in general about people liking what they like and being exposed to things and just, people dive deeper in different worlds than others. And I don't have the mental capacity to understand a person who hand waves Okada, who dismisses the work that he produces, that dare I say has the audacity to undermine that. The body of work that he has produced at his age, I defy anyone to find me a pro wrestler who's done the same. It's an amazing body of work for, a 4 or 5 year run. It's just amazing.
Yeah, from his return to New Japan Pro Wrestling after escaping the quagmire of total nonstop action, it truly is astounding what he has done in that time frame. And again, you have to take into account his age. He is so young, he hasn't even reached his prime yet. And just thinking about all of the future great classics that we have in store with Okada, it truly is mind-boggling. Since we're on the topic of this match, we did discuss it a little bit off the air.
Yeah, go ahead, because there were some things that drove you a little crazy.
Yeah, let me preface this by saying I thought that this was a great match. Like I said, it was a battle, it was a war, it was cerebral, it was brutal, it was everything that I wanted it to be and more. And I will say, I thought that this was better than the Suzuki match from New Beginning, which I also thought was a great match. However, at the end of the day, it just felt to me like nothing that Shibata did to Okada, all of the kicks, all of the slaps, all of the forearms, all of the submissions, it meant nothing because Rainmaker 1-2-3, and that's the ball game. It was almost like, if I can use a Western analogy, could you imagine if Brock Lesnar was going up against John Cena and we just saw German suplex after German suplex after German suplex, you know, 25 German suplexes in a row, and then all of a sudden, up, AA, 1, 2, 3, and that's the end.
Right, but Colin, it's not like he kicked out of a penalty kick, right? It's not like he, Okada, you know, booted out of the big move. Yes, there were the spots where he was tied up.
He was brutalized, Damon.
He got the shit kicked out of him.
He was brutalized and victimized.
Yes, but again, it wasn't as though, you know, and again, I don't want to take your criticism of the match the wrong way, because I thought this match was flawless, to be quite frank. But the idea that all Shibata's offense meant nothing, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think this was a 38-minute match. This was not the junior heavyweight title match, right?
No, which I thought was great.
Okay, there you go. But this was 38 minutes of a war, of an absolute war. So it wasn't like, you know, fucking Okada hulked up, you know, hit a clothesline and then did a leg drop. I don't think that was the case at all.
It felt to me like it was a rainmaker out of nowhere. Pardon the expression.
But there were multiple rainmakers. There was more than one, right?
I think there was two.
Okay.
I think there was one that he hit where Shibata kind of no-sold it, you know?
Right. Or, yeah, he was kind of in the – he didn't take a bump off of it. Yeah,
right.
But he looked, you know, like it rocked his world, right?
Right. And then there was the closing one.
Okay. Which, how many people have kicked out of that move?
Well, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kenny Omega.
Let's go through the list. Is Shibata Hiroshi Tanahashi?
He's not Hiroshi Tanahashi.
He's not.
Nor is he Kenny Omega. He's his own animal.
He is his own animal. And again, please, this match was fucking tremendous.
It was.
But let's be fair. He's not Tanahashi. He's not Kenny Omega right now. Now, did this match mean a lot in the sense of there was a lot of questioning of, hey, and even you said it, there was a feeling in the air to you guys that Shibata was going to take this belt, right?
And this was a pro-Shibata crowd in Sumo Hall.
It was. It really felt that way, too. It really did. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that the finish was a mistake?
No. You see, the finish, the result isn't what I have a problem with. I don't want this to come across as, snarky.
My guy didn't win.
Right? Yeah, snarky internet fan disappointed that Shibata didn't win. No, I didn't expect Shibata to win, but it just felt like, and I hate to use this expression, it felt like Superman booking to me, something which I am not a fan of.
Okay. I think while I don't necessarily agree with it, I see it. I see what you're saying. I get the fact that, yes, Shibata took everything he had and threw it at Okada, and I don't necessarily agree that it was just like I said, he didn't kick out of a PK, he didn't kick out of the sleeper, he fought out of the sleeper, he didn't really, you know, have the true sleeper on, but there were variations that he fought out of. Okay. I mean, is it a similar complaint that you had like the Suzuki match?
Yeah, and just to kind of branch off of that point, there was a point in this match where Shibata had Okada in a finisher on the mat, and I was listening to the English commentary, and they're saying, oh, is he going to tap? And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? Suzuki had him in a heel hook for an hour. He's not going to tap. At no point did I think that Okada was going to tap out, and that was because of how that Suzuki match went down.
Okay.
That Suzuki match actually kind of affected how I viewed this match.
Because you're thinking there's no possible way that that's going to end because of what happened in that Suzuki match?
Exactly.
All right. Well, they're making a big – listen, they're making a guy who's, you know, when he does lose this belt, it's going to mean a lot.
That's true. Right? That's true.
I mean, listen, and again, it's you know – it's not a hot potato belt, which I absolutely love. I love the fact that, you know, you're getting special moments. You're building this to a special moment here, Colin. All these matches, and again, even the challenge of Fale once again. Okay, I hear you. Trust me, you heard a groan from me sitting here in Baltimore, right? But to me, think of it. It does make some sense in the sense of we've got at least two more shows to go until G1 season, right? We got Dontaku and Dominion, right?
That is correct. And the Long Beach shows.
Right. So even before we get to those Long Beach shows and the G1, we got to get through two shows. I think Fale is a decent opponent, and I'll share with you why. One, he is established as a big man and a monster and another thing to get through. Right? Well,
according to Don Callis, he's 6'8". I think he added about 4 inches.
I just called Bradshaw 7 foot. So what the fuck do I know? in a conversation off the air, what was my point? My point was
a big monster.
Big monster. Yep. A challenge that people can see. It makes sense, right? Like a legitimate contender for a title. And also, Colin, let's keep in mind here, even though there was a match that Fale got against Okada, right? It was a non-title match. Remember that?
I do.
It was a non-title match, and that match was brought about because Fale beat Okada in G1. He never got his title match.
Right. He had a non-title match afterwards.
That is correct.
Okada beat him.
That he lost. Okada beat him.
So right? Doesn't that cancel out the G1 win?
I guess it could. I guess it could. But truth be told, he never got his title shot. Never got a title shot. So maybe he comes in the ring. He's a little pissed off, right? A little hot under the collar. Comes in. And maybe, like I said, this is a perfect opponent because, again, you have that Bullet Club, right? You know this is leading toward somewhere along the line in this calendar year. We're going to see Okada and Kenny Omega again, right?
Damon.
We're going to see that.
Do you know who else never got their title shot against Okada, who beat Okada at G1?
I know.
Tomohiro Ishii. There's a perfect opponent. I have no interest in another Bad Luck Fale. I might not even watch it.
You're watching it.
Well, of course I'm going to watch it, but I don't care.
I'm trying to find the silver lining.
Is Bad Luck Fale going to become the IWGP Heavyweight Champion?
No, but we got to get through two shows. We got to get through two shows. Listen, again, this is the we got to get to eventually Omega and Okada, right?
We're building towards that, certainly.
Yeah. All right. So let's let that go. You just saw Okada have one of the greatest matches of all time. It was a fucking great match, right? He can. I don't want to say take a night off. That's not what I'm getting at. But it's a different opponent. Not everybody's going to be that guy that's, oh my God, this guy could really take the belt. I don't think anybody's sitting here thinking that Fale is going to win this title. It's a guy that it's a bridge and again, a credible monster that Okada's going to fight through to get a big win to help solidify his reign. So now we move on to the bigger and brighter matches.
Well, on that note, what do you say we start at the beginning of the card here with the pre-show match? So we had the team of Nakanishi, Liger, and Finlay taking on the trio of young lions, Kawato, Oka, and Kitamura. Damon, I thought that this was great.
Yeah,
I love how the three young lions, I envisioned them getting together before the match.
Right.
Envision them
saying,
you know what we're going to do? We're going to Pearl Harbor these motherfuckers. That's what they did. And it almost worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I like these. I like this group, this batch of young lions. I've said it before. Again, I can't sit here and tell you that all these guys are going to be stars and all these guys are going to be world beaters in 10 years. I have no idea. But I like what I see. You know, I like what I see out of them. I like the fact that they really are truly they have their own mold, right? You have your monster, you have your young guy who looks 107 years old, and you have your fiery, you know, dare I say, kid who's, you know, eager and just, you know, wants to get in there and battle, maybe, you know, too much fire for his own good. So I like that. And the veteran team is the veteran team, and I still think that there's, you know, stuff to be had with Liger and Cuato, right? We saw at the end of the match a little pushing and shoving there. But, yeah, I mean, as a match that's not even really a, you know, it's a pre-show match, yeah, it's fine. It's good. Nothing terrible. What'd it go, like 3 minutes, 4 minutes?
Yeah, the match itself went about 7 minutes. David Finlay picking up the win on Kitamura.
What do you see in his future? I know that we seem to always harp on David Finlay at this point, but where do you see him going?
I'm not sure if David Finlay at this point, if he's a junior heavyweight, if he's a heavyweight, he is just kind of lost in the shuffle to me.
Yeah, and that's a shame. I mean, you look at his trajectory and Juice, right? They're kind of night and day, it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, Juice is hot, to say the least.
Yeah, and to say the least.
David Finlay is not.
Let me ask you this. Would an excursion do him some good?
Oh, I don't know why they didn't send him abroad to begin with.
I think because that would really deplete. Well, first of all, he's not a young lion, right? So to say to go away on an excursion, I don't mean that as a young lion kind of thing, right? Because he's not a young lion right now. He's not. But the fact of the matter is that when Jay White left and, Tanaka and that whole batch, when they left, it did leave a big hole. So he couldn't really leave, even though they moved him up in the ranks at right around the same time. I don't know. He just – if to me, it feels like he's in desperate need of a new coat of paint.
He needs to be involved with some new people because there's certainly – I mean, look at the roster. Look at the New Japan roster. There's a litany of pros who he can learn from. But
yeah.
He's not really getting the opportunity to kind of sit under their learning tree.
Yeah, it feels like he's just, you know, a guy to stick on these first quarter multi-man tags. And yes, there are opportunities to learn, but to me, in that environment and in that situation, how much is he really learning at this point?
That's exactly my point.
Right. I mean, like, there's you either got to give him an opportunity, and I'm not blaming him per se. I mean, I think this is definitely a New Japan thing.
Well, he could tone up a bit, but
again,
so could you, David. Off the
listen, you no tone. My God, tone's not the word. I need a chainsaw. Just start slicing, carve me up like a ham. I mean, listen, he came off the injury. You made that point a few weeks ago. Okay. And I still think he's not wanting to be a junior heavyweight. So he wants to put on a little bit more weight. Look, he's just in a funk to me.
Terry funk.
Not a good Terry funk forever. It's an egg sucking dog funk.
Yes.
It's an egg sucking dog. Hey, speaking of egg sucking dog. Know what I watched over the past week during the whole WrestleMania week?
What's that?
There were a lot of other stuff, a lot of other shows. I watched the Ring of Honor show.
And how was that?
Not bad. The ladder match was outstanding with the Bucks and
that's what I heard.
The Hardys. That probably is the match that everyone needs to get out, go out of their way and see. But you have Bullet Club member Cody Rhodes against Jay Lethal in a bull rope match. Bull rope match. Again.
Cody Rhodes.
I'll continue on with my Cody Rhodes. look, Cody Rhodes ain't delivering you what you saw out of Okada. Let's put it that way.
Damon, is Cody Rhodes going to be in the G1?
He apparently is. Apparently is. He announced that over the WrestleMania weekend as well. So from what we can tell and what we know right now, he is the lone official participant in the G1 tournament this year.
Wow. Who would have thought a year ago?
Look, somebody tagged me on a post, that interview segment. It was like a handheld camera thing, where they was doing, like, you know, kind of a Q&A thing with the Young Bucks in the ring. And they tagged me. And I was like, hey, what do you think about this? And you know what I put? I said, all right, what am I going to do? Let's see what he can do. Right?
Yep. The ball is in Cody's court.
Yep. And I want to hear, you know me, I'll be the first one. If there is a great match, I'll be the first one to shout it from the rooftops. I got no problem with it. Like I said, I don't have anything, like, I don't want anything bad. If anything, I want anything great. I'm just looking at what I see. And what I see is a bunch of 3-star matches, man.
That's exactly what I said to somebody on Twitter who asked us about that. And I said, well, I mean, somebody's got to open up the shows and have 3-star ceiling matches. And there's your guy.
He's your guy. Right. Now, if he blows us out of the water, if he fucking blows us out of the water with a match, I will be the first to praise it. I haven't seen that match yet. That match does not exist to me.
No, I haven't seen it either. And it's strange because there's a group of people on the interwebs who are clamoring around Cody Rhodes, almost like he's the second coming.
I don't – give me the great matches, guys.
Yes, Seriously. Please send us the great – 4-5-star Cody Rhodes matches that he has had since leaving WWE.
Since any time. Because everybody points back to, oh, he had a great match with Rey Mysterio. There's one. Okay, I'll put that one in the bucket. Sure, great. And, oh, there's that ladder match. And don't give me a fucking ladder match because there's 900 people in that match. It had nothing to do with him.
That was the one from last year's WrestleMania, I believe.
It might have been.
Where he was Stardust.
Yes.
He should be Stardust in New Japan. That would make things more interesting, at least.
I don't want that. Listen, I can barely stand him. I don't need him to every fucking 5 minutes.
Well, not to get off on a Cody Rhodes tangent, but, you know, that's there. He will be in the G1.
Yes.
And just to wrap up this pre-show match, Finley hits his stunner finish on Kitamura. We saw the interactions between...
Liger
and Kawato at the end. So yeah, I look forward to seeing what happens down the road with Kawato and Liger. So moving on here, first official match of the evening, Yujiro Takahashi, Chase Owens, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa taking on Tiger Mask W,
fucking Christ,
Yuji Nagata and Togi Makabe. You know, I saw Kota Ibushi just want to spring out of that mask. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like this was Kota Ibushi wrestling. I mean, he did all the spots. He did the corkscrew, standing moonsault, all the strikes, the golden triangle moonsault. I mean, this was full on Kota Ibushi. And my question is, when is it time to take off this mask?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I don't know why are we still doing this?
I think, like, he's getting off on it, truth be told.
I really do. He has to be. He has to really be enjoying it. That's because that's the only logical reason I can come up with. He has to really be enjoying it. And listen, if you can live your life that way, that good for you.
I envy him.
I guess. I mean, sure. Why not? I mean, he's doing the things that he wants to do. And again, the Kota Ibushi Learning Institute of Technology or whatever the fuck he called that thing.
You know, I have been thinking of going back to school as of late. You know, I'm kind of at a quarter life crisis here.
Yep.
And, you know, the Kota Ibushi Institute is on my list.
I think it's a prestigious secondary school. a fine finishing school. Frank's it up there with the elite colleges.
Like Trump University.
Trump University, sure. The University of Phoenix online. he's going to do what he's going to do. I can't beat my head against the wall and wish for something that's just not going to happen. Again, I keep waiting for these big shows, right? And I keep waiting for the nose to nose between him and an Omega, or him and an Okada, or, you know, I keep waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. It's kind of like waiting for the phone call from that girl that you're kind of smitten with. And every time you know, you're looking at the phone, you're hoping to get that text, and
all you see is Damon McDonald.
What are we doing the podcast? Oh, she's Brian Mackey.
Yes, exactly.
Hey,
story of my life.
So look, it is what it is. What are you going to do? You can't long for it. This match. Well,
it was okay.
Yeah.
We did see the return of Slippery Eel Tama Tonga.
A little bit. Again, I don't understand why he doesn't go full force with that gimmick. It's a unique gimmick. It's a unique style. Sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't. I know it's a common complaint that you hear from me. I just think he's so much better than everybody else on that team. Now, again, I don't know if he had a spectacular G1 last year, right? He didn't have like a breakout G1.
No.
Right? So that has me a little concerned as to his potential. I'm hoping that if he is involved in G1 again this year, that we do see a little bit more out of him. Like I think everybody was a little disappointed in his G1 performance. Do you think, and again, you posed this question to me, I believe on the show that our 80A,
yes, 80A,
80A, you posed the question to me. Tongaloa, are we gonna see this guy in G1?
I think there's a good chance. I'm sorry to say, he was in the New Japan Cup. Now, you can ask the question: did his performance in the New Japan Cup kind of show them what they really have here?
Is there a spot for him though? Now, here's the thing: I know that they love to have the tag team champions in it, right? In years past, they've done that a lot, right?
Right.
They're not holding the straps, right?
No.
So I don't know if there's a spot for him.
Well,
you go up and down that roster. All right, if Cody's taking a spot, we'll just for shits and giggles say it's Tenzan's spot. Okay? Right? Cuz we know he's not going to be in it. I don't know who else is not going to be in it.
Well, I think that Kojima's probably going to be in it.
I think so.
I would think Nagata's probably still going to be in it.
I would think so as well.
Who else from last year's G1 is
can't be in it? I mean, there's nobody that's really left, right?
They have to make room for Suzuki. I think he's definitely going to be in it.
You would think.
It's
Juice.
Well, that's a good question. I think
Juice has got to be.
Yeah, Juice. I mean, come on. Look at what the guy's involved in right now.
Yeah, yeah. He's pinning fucking everybody.
Yeah. Next thing, he's gonna pin Okada.
Oh, dude, you seriously? I mean, I don't know.
Juice is getting the push.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about putting a fucking jetpack to a guy.
And well deserved, I might add. Yeah, I don't really know if there's a place for Tongaloa.
I would, and again, people have to lose, right? We do need people to
the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny.
That's right, Danny. Yeah. So, I mean, if he's that guy, I just don't know where he's fitting in. That's the thing. There's only so many, unless they expand it, like, unless they like add like more slots.
25.
Oh, geez.
30.
I mean, look.
Remember that one Rumble where there was 40 participants?
Yes. What a nightmare. I think Tenru was actually in there that year. Look, that I don't want to water down G1.
I don't think we're gonna get a watered down G1.
I don't think so either. I hope not. All right, so that's that. This match was okay. And
yep, Tama Tonga picks up the win, pins Tiger Mask, and he looks in the camera at the end, and he says what was on my mind. He says, why are there two Tiger Masks? And I said, thank you, Tama Tonga. Exactly. Why the fuck are there two Tiger Masks?
Well, look, I know, Luxon. We all want just the one.
Was that comment, though? Was that comment planting a little seedling there for a Tama Tonga Tiger Mask W match? Because he mentioned one of them needs to be unmasked. Interesting, huh?
Yes. I don't see that in our future.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? But I don't see that in the future. I unfortunately think, even though, and again, I think we'll get to the match. I'll have this. I'll share with you later. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I'll share with you where I think Tonga Loa, Tama Tonga wind up in just a few moments.
Alrighty, next match, a six-man tag featuring the team of Yoshihashi and Roppongi Vice, taking on Minoru Suzuki, Taka Michinoku, and El Desperado. You know, as I was watching this match, I was saying to myself, man, Trent Barreta, it is a shame that this guy is going to be in Best of the Super Juniors, because, quite frankly, here is a guy who should be in the G1 Climax. Could you imagine some of the matches that Barreta could have against Okada or Tanahashi or Omega? This guy is so good, and he's just... He's stuck.
Undervalued.
Yeah, he's
undervalued.
He's undervalued. He's underrated, and you know, he's stuck in the junior tag division. And I just think it's kind of a waste.
Well, again, after this match, between this match and the junior tag matches, we kind of see the direction for Roppongi Vice again. And again, I don't think that being in Roppongi Vice is an anchor. It's I feel the same way too. I do like Trent Barreta. I do think that there are better things on the horizon for him if given a chance. Maybe he needs to tag up. You know what? No, I don't want to see him tag up with David Finlay. Colin, here's the biggest problem in a nutshell. There's too many people on this fucking roster.
There really is too many people.
I mean, I hate to, we are overrun with talent. Now, we got this. We got these G1 shows in Long Beach. But again, remember the talk about the U.S. expansion and how there was a feeling, and not even just a feeling, but it was basically said that we were going to have a California territory, right?
Right, which is, we had our own thoughts about that. It wasn't all positive.
Right, we're negative people.
Yes, we are. We're a bunch of negative pricks.
But I mean, that's somewhere where, again, we listen, there's talk that, Young Bucks and Elgin and guys that they fly in, they aren't going to be around as much just because there's just not enough room for these people. Right. That's to me, that's, and that's why you see every goddamn show in LIJ mixed tag, right? Five people and all these countless number of multi-man tags, because there's just not enough spots. Not enough people. I mean, there's not enough spots for all the people that this company has. When there was the agreement with Noah, I mean, you had, Suzuki-gun down there. You had people kind of floating in and out of there. I got people off the radar a little bit. Now it's like, God damn, there's no place for these people to go. And Trent Barreta is a perfect example of a guy that plenty of talent, and even Rocky Romero, plenty of talent. But what are you going to do? You're stuck in Roppongi Vice because we got no place to fucking put you.
And as far as David Finlay goes, I think that a perfect place for him, Rev Pro, I could really see him in the UK.
I just think right now, I mean, it's kind of hard to walk away from New Japan money, right?
You think his pay grade is higher now that he's not a young lion anymore?
I hope so. Yeah, absolutely. But where do you go? Like, what are you going to go to Ring of Honor?
You go to Orlando, Damon. What are you talking about?
That's the sad part.
That's where everybody goes.
Well, I mean, okay, so.
Look, you can get your annual pass. You can go to Disney World every weekend. What are you talking? You got it made in the shade.
I don't want that. I want.
Me neither.
Here's what I want. I want, I guess what I want is.
Tell me what you want. Sorry.
And I want California to take off, I guess, right? That's really the only answer we got at this point. Because where are they going to go? And how are we going to have these guys grow as pro wrestlers?
The only other option I can think of besides this California territory is, like I said earlier, really kind of send them to these companies that you have working agreements with, like CMLL and Rev Pro and Ring of Honor, although we don't really know what's going on with Ring of Honor. I don't know. Yeah. It's really tough.
It is tough. That's an overarching problem in pro wrestling. Where can we send these guys? I mean, there would still be New Japan contracts, so I'm assuming that New Japan would still be paying them, as opposed to the other areas. I mean, there are opportunities out there. I mean, there's places they can wrestle. But it's just, okay, do we send them to Mexico? Do we send them to Rev Pro? Do we send them to Ring of Honor? Do we do our best to expand this California thing coming in 2018? And I think that's probably the way we're going to go, a mix of all of that with a heavy emphasis on California.
So what did you think of the match itself here, the six-man tag? And what do you make of Yoshihashi picking up the win, pinning Taka Michinoku, I believe, with the karma?
Yep. So I actually like the match, Colin.
Not bad.
Yeah, I actually like the match. I like where it is. I mean, we said it a few weeks in a row now. Taka Michinoku. Excuse me, I misplaced my A's and U's. He's the guy that's taking the fall in a lot of these matches. And again, it's another example of Yoshihashi getting the pin, keeping people reminding people of who he is and what he's projected to be. I don't know where you go with that, though. I don't know where you go with him.
Man, when I was looking at Yoshihashi in this match,
yeah,
I wish you would have never made that Paula Deen comparison, because that is all I saw with that hairdo.
Yeah, the blonde thing.
It is Paula Deen to a T.
It really does look like it, doesn't it?
He should have his own line of frying
pots
pans.
And pans.
Yeah, I'd buy them.
You would. Look, he's another guy that's in this purgatory. You know, he's Trent Beretta, David Finlay, all these guys that, you know, they're
Tamatanga to a certain extent.
You know what? Tamatanga to a certain extent. Chase Owens to a certain extent.
Hey, right? Chase Owens has his fans.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have enough people to fill an entire roster that are in that kind of mid-cardy, even Takahashi. You know,
Yujiro.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Please let me be clear. There's plenty of guys, the bottom feeder Suzuki Goon guys. Maybe not to the extent of the Finleys, where I like to see them get elevated, Finleys, Berettas, and all them. But listen, my point being is that there's a fuck ton of talent that's just kind of in a state of limbo, just because there's nowhere to go because there are no spots.
All right, next match for the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles, Kanemaru and Tai Chi taking on Ghetto and Jado.
Lots of bullshit in this match, right, Colin?
lots of Suzuki Goon shenanigans.
We knew that
was to be expected. But with that being said, not a bad match. I really didn't have a problem with this match.
Yeah, I mean, I went into it with zero expectations, and I went into it feeling like, Anything I got out of it was going to be a bonus. The biggest challenge that I have right now with the tag belts is that, you know, where we once were and how we bitched and moaned about, oh, it would be great just to kind of spice things up a little bit. But the talent that was there, okay, we don't really have that talent anymore. You know, those days are long gone, it feels like. Time Splitters, you know, Alex Shelley.
Alex Shelley, you know, funny you should mention him. I was listening to an interview with him on The Observer. And he is going back to school, or he's in school, to be a physical therapist. And I thought to myself, man, you know, what a smart thing. A guy, you know, he's in his early 30s, I believe, you know. He's done the pro wrestling thing. He's lived out his dream doing that. And now he's going back to school, preparing for the second half of his life. I mean, you can learn a lot, ladies and gentlemen, from Mr. Alex Shelley.
the example led by Alex Shelley. Remember back when this was probably in the first couple of shows that we did, we would talk about Alex Shelley and how it just felt like he was disinterested in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
We would say that. And it's funny that's the case, that's the route he's taking.
It's because he was doing a juggling act. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, my point being with the tag titles and the junior tag belts is you know, there was a lot of talent there, and it doesn't feel the same that the quality of talent is there. But even with that said, and even with all the smoke and mirrors that occurred during this match, the second half of the match, it picked up. It turned out good. And listen, the people that are in that ring, truth be told, they're seasoned pro wrestlers.
Oh, Jado, Ghetto, Kanemaru.
Yeah, we might be. You know, we might not get the body of work that we're expecting out of, our New Japan Pro Wrestling when these guys hit our screen. And yes, it's a tough gimmick to swallow in the sense of, ugh, you just want to fucking fast forward because you just feel like, oh, this is the shits. And not for nothing, a lot of the match quality turns from various grades of average to, ugh, what am I watching, right?
We're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, if you saw those clowns in Noah, you know, you can understand people's apprehension. You know, that being still being said, I felt this was good. Let's put it this way, better than expected, better than going into it that I was looking forward to, and pleasantly surprised.
Yep, so Kanemaru hits the drilling DDT off the top rope for the win. Roppongi Vice comes out, makes the challenge, so it's looking like we're in store for a Roppongi Vice Kanemaru Tai Chi match.
Excited?
No.
Right?
Not particularly. But again, with this junior tag division, where do you go? What do you do?
Yeah, it's just a matter of moving belts around.
It's a carousel.
Around.
It's like being on a carousel.
But it's a very dull carousel, right? It's a very tiring carousel.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles. It's, you know, one of the antiquated carousels.
Yeah, we're just going to pass around the title 25 times to the same, you know, same four teams.
All right, next match. We have a tag team match featuring the team of Kenny Omega and Bad Luck Fale taking on Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano. Damon.
Go ahead.
I was watching this match and I was thinking to myself, boy, I am really going to go on a rant here.
okay. The floor is yours, Colin.
I've calmed down a bit since then, so I'm not going to go on this scathing rant, but I will say this. There are times when I'm watching what we like to call T-shirt Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching him in these tag matches, and I'm watching him give these half-hearted, half-assed performances, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I even wasting my time watching this? What am I doing this for? This is just tiresome nonsense. You know, everything's a joke. Everything's a joke. Everything's a mockery. You know, you could only use the excuse so many times. Oh, he's saving up all his energy for when the time is right. I'm sorry, but this is too much now. This is I have lost so much interest in Kenny Omega.
Wow. Well, I think somewhere in the past week, my brain was switched with yours because you sound like me. All right, I'm going to give you a different perspective.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you a different perspective.
I'm all ears.
All right. I didn't think this match was bad at all. In fact, I thought this was a good match. I actually thought this was a good match. Now, is this a normal match that I would usually call a good match? No, certainly not. Here's what it reminded me of, Colin. It did remind me very much of those maybe like Rockers, Brainbuster-y, even further. There was plenty of comedy, right? Plenty of comedy, plenty of shenaniganness, right? Or maybe like a Strike Force Islanders match, right? My point being is, yes, there was plenty of comedy, right? And stuff that's easy to dismiss, right? Very lighthearted fare. Yes, you are not getting Kenny Omega. I'm not going to go so far as to say, Colin, that he's not putting forth effort, because I feel like he is. And I feel like, but this is just a different form of effort, right? So he's not going to go. He's not going out there and killing himself.
Alternative facts. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that, like, you're not going to get, not in a tag match like this anyway. You're not going to get 5 stars out of a match like this.
And I'm not expecting 5 stars out of a match like this. But I am expecting a certain level of seriousness. Like, you know, I'm in a professional wrestling match and I want to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just don't feel like I'm getting that from Kenny Omega in these matches. So please don't waste my time. Please leave.
Okay. I mean,
don't go away mad. Just go away.
Wow. Colin, you were the biggest Kenny Omega guy that I knew.
I was a fan. I still am a fan, but I don't know. I'm getting a lot of attitude. I'm getting a vibe
of
I'm above this. I only have to be on at certain times. It's like, no, this is your job. Could you imagine at my job if I, like, picked my spots? Like, could you imagine at your job, Damon, if you picked your spots when you were going to put in effort? Well, you know, it's the first half of the year, so I'm just going to kind of – I'm going to coast. I'm going to collect my paychecks. But, boy, when summer comes, my productivity is going to be through the roof.
Okay, and fair enough. But what is Kenny Omega expected of in a match like this before intermission? If you're using the job analogy, is the same expectations that maybe you had when you first started in your professional career the same as that you have now, or the same if you were the manager of your department, or the same if you were the regional manager or the director? Where you are in the card is you have different roles and different.
It's a good point.
You know what I mean? So give me the spotlight that Kenny Omega has had in this calendar year, the spotlight where he has needed to shine. He absolutely has. And even in these kind of throwaway tag matches, let's be truthful. He's the shining star in all of this. Like, when he's in the ring, the match quality goes up tremendously, right? But when he's in the ring and he needs it to deliver, he absolutely does, Colin, right? And when he's called upon to do so.
All I'm saying is, don't insult my intelligence. That's all. Right.
Look, he's being a heel in an age where it's very difficult to be a heel, right? So, yeah, he's some of this stuff he's hand waving, you could see, right? And some of this stuff, you know, he's having fun, as much fun as he possibly can, in a tag match that, truth be told, does he necessarily even want to be in?
He's just having fun, Maggle.
Well, right, okay. But again, the expectations of where he is on, especially this show, like, what the fuck is he supposed to do with Yano? You know? Like, and when he was in the ring with Ishii, I think he delivered what you're looking for, right?
Oh, and I have a complaint about that.
All right,
I have a complaint about the finish.
Negative Colin this week.
Well, hey, Damon, you know I'm going through a bit of a
crisis.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a crisis. Like
all
I said, quarter life crisis. But so we saw Kenny Omega and Tomohiro Ishii have this 4 3/4 star match at the New Japan Cup, right? And the story of that match was Omega never hit the one winged angel, right?
Right.
Never hit the one winged angel.
Correct.
So you're going to have him hit that finish
right. In
a throwaway tag match that nobody's going to remember, instead of maybe they're going to face each other again in the G1, and that could be the story. Oh, these two guys had this phenomenal match at the New Japan Cup, and Omega was never able to hit that finish. Now that's out the window. That's, you know, I don't care. I don't care if they're going to face each other in the G1.
Right. Look. I'm not saying that you don't have valid points. I'm just saying that sometimes those expectations need to be tempered.
Yano couldn't take the one-winged angel? Really?
Here's my bigger beef, Colin, is the fact that Kenny got the win with the one-winged angel. And as I had talked about in previous shows, right, made sense. But, like, okay, so why, again, is Fale challenging? Right? Is this the time when we were supposed to see Omega in the ring challenging? Isn't that where we're... And listen, I know we got Dominion, and I know we got Dontaku we're going to get through. But to me, you know, if in fact he was hitting... And again, maybe we're just not being patient, Colin, right? We're not good at being patient, right? And a lot of times these things work itself out in the end, don't they?
They do. As do most things in life.
Right? Right? So our instant gratification of this Omega Okada match, you know, again, patience. It's coming. We know it's coming, right, Colin? We know it's coming. Now, getting back to your point of being distraught with the perception that Kenny is taking nights off and maybe not putting forth full effort that you're looking for. Again, I don't know what you're going to – I don't know what he could have done over and above in a tag match that's not even right before intermission, right?
Just treat it with a sense of somewhat seriousness. That's all I'm asking.
Omega. Again, this is keep in mind where Kenny Omega came from and what Kenny Omega enjoys to do in the ring.
Oh, I know.
Okay. I mean, that's Kenny Omega, right? Before Wrestle Kingdom, we would always – what was it always his tagline that we gave him? It was always about he's probably the most divisive pro wrestler in New Japan.
Very polarizing figure indeed.
Right? But with our listenership, we had people who liked the goofiness and hated the goofiness. I mean, listen, this is not Kenny Omega shoving a broomstick up to Gucci's ass.
No,
you're not getting that.
He didn't do that.
Okay.
I will say that.
All right. So, I think, is this the Omega that we all want? No, of course not. But we know what we can get. And you're not going to get that in that spot. Again, he's where he is on the card plays a lot of what Kenny Omega you're going to say.
Boy, I can't wait for the comments after this podcast is uploaded.
You're going to get fucking buried.
You can read them for me, Damon.
I'll read them for you. I'll fight them off for you. Listen, you're a big boy. It's a wrestling opinion. Come on. And there are other people that share that same opinion of why exactly am I sitting through this? Like, why am I? Like, you're basically telling me this is not important.
Yeah, this
right?
does not matter. This and it didn't matter.
Right. So why exactly am I sitting through this? I hear that, and I hear that a lot. But again, understand where this is, and the Kenny Omega that you're going to get in a spot like this is certainly not the same Kenny Omega that you're going to get in a headlining spot singles match. It's just, you know, and again, I don't think it's, to me, I don't think it's a fair statement to
have that expectations when, one, you know what you're getting with Kenny Omega, right? You know that's what you're going to get. And two, to have those same expectations. Like, you wouldn't have that same expectations for David Finlay.
No.
Right? Right? And by and large, he's, you know, in just these throwaway tag matches. So, okay, it is what it is. You'll take your punches, but you're a big boy. You can take them.
Alrighty, next match. Juice Robinson, Taguchi, Tanahashi, and Ricochet taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón, Evil Sonata, Bushi, and Naito. Damon, we have some new never openway tag champs here, don't we?
You call that one on the show that
never aired.
On A, yeah, on 80A. You did call that. That if you want to pull that clip at any time and just stick that up on the interwebs, by all means. I was like, they're not going to change it on a Road 2 show, are they? We went back and forth on that.
That's what these titles are all about.
That's what they're all about. But it's a good thing. That's whatever. Let me ask you this. You had a problem with the Switch?
No. Why would I care?
Okay. All right. Well, good. All right, well, that okay, there you go. So have that same attitude toward Kenny Omega pre-intermission matches.
Well, one's a performer and the other is an inanimate object.
Right, but the inanimate objects, truth be told, are the catalyst for you to care, right?
Not these inanimate objects. the IWGP right. Heavyweight title, yes.
All right.
The Nevero trio titles, not exactly. But anyway, the big story really coming out of this match is, man, Juice Robinson has now pinned
everybody.
At least 4/5. Is that right? Of LIJ?
Yeah. I mean, well,
3/5.
Right. And then even again, we mentioned we remind of Goto as well in that. And again, these are all tag situations mostly, right? But still,
hey,
amazing that. Again, Juice Robinson gets a win, a pinfall win, clean in the middle against Naito.
And I think I even called this one last week. I said I see Juice chasing Naito for the IC title.
Yeah,
and there
he's
going to
get a shot. He's definitely going to get a shot. So that was, and I once again they played it perfectly. The camera angles, the production team. For New Japan is really amazing, you know, the way that they capture the facial expressions of not only the people that win, surprisingly, and Juice, you know, was surprised, but the crowd reactions and the they just do a fucking wonderful job.
Not enough shaky cam for my taste personally, but
well, me neither. I'm a seizure watching. I thought this match was really good. Once again, though, it's the fact going in once again, LIJ multi-man tag. That's like, how many fucking times can you see this? It's really gotten to it's gotten annoying.
How many shows are there per year? That's how many times you can see it.
Has there been one every single show?
I think so. I mean, I don't have a figure in front of me. I didn't do the research, but I think it's a safe bet.
Yeah,
seems like
amazing.
It
really does. Every show there's a multi-man tag with LIJ. It's unbelievable. But this was a big spot and a big win for Juice. And again, this will lead up to a title shot, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised if at a Dantaku. Be a nice little spot.
Are they going to be two separate shows this year? Do you know, Dantaku?
I have no idea. No. I don't think so. I don't think they're two. I think they learned from that mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Well, hey, this could be a semi-main event for your Dantaku show. And that's a just think about where Juice came from and where he's headed. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, that Intercontinental match is going to headline one show, right? It's going to headline something. It usually does. You know, usually they'll alternate the heavyweight title and the Intercontinental title. You know,
well, that's what I'm saying. Will the IC title headline Dantaku?
I think so. I mean,
wow.
I mean, I don't know where it's going to fall. I mean, they might stick this. I don't know. That's a very good question. I mean, it's pure speculation, but. Yeah, I mean, it's going to headline a show. It's going to headline a show.
Well, Damon, before we move on to the next match here, you know, I was watching Naito walk down to the ring, and I was looking at his little zip-up hoodie that he has, you know, the Keep Calm and LIJ one. And I thought to myself, boy, you know, I would love to order one of those. Where can I get one of them from? And it hit me. I can go to gaijincollectibles.com and I can order through them directly from the New Japan shop. Can you believe that?
I certainly can, because I did the very thing right before I left for my long weekend here in the beautiful city of Baltimore. I got my package from Gaijin Collectibles, my hoodie. So, yes, it is a one-stop shop. And, again, all the rave reviews, people, that we receive here on the PureCast about Gaijin Collectibles, it's easy. It's simple. It's the stuff that you want from the actual promotions with the real tags and the whole nine yards. You're getting the real deal shipped directly to your door. Simple, fun, exciting things that you want, the products that you want. And again, you're not going to get better customer service than with Gaijin Collectibles. So take it from me. I made my purchase and I'm thoroughly pleased with the purchase. A little snug, I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, it's Damon, I mentioned it's hard to find, you know.
I know. So maybe I haven't worn it yet. It's still hanging up in my office.
You need
maybe
to wear it in.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that. Maybe, Colin, I'm thinking it might be a nice giveaway for a PureCast listener.
Ah.
Uh-huh. That's where I'm going with this.
Interesting.
And again, keep in mind, guys, they do have their giveaway package this month. Make sure that you like us on Facebook. Make sure you like them, Gaijin Collectibles, on Facebook. There is a prize package worth its weight in gold. Also in my package, just as a FYI, the good people at Gaijin Collectibles threw in a bag of something that's not going to help me fit into that hoodie. green tea Kit Kats.
Oh, I should have told them not to do that.
They did.
You gotta...
No sweets. Cut down on the sweets.
Yeah, this guy's got to watch his sugar intake. So no.
Well, it was there, and it was a pleasant surprise. So again, make sure you get involved in that. It's a free giveaway. The prize package is pretty massive. Lots of goodies in there. So get on that. Like us, like them, and you're automatically entered for that free giveaway this month. So gaijincollectibles.com, kids, get on it. Get your purchase it from Gaijin Collectibles.
Perch your merch
from gaijincollectibles.com.
There you go.
Pretty good.
Thank you, Damon.
Thank you. All right, what else we got here?
All right, well, we have a IWGP heavyweight tag title match, War Machine versus Tenkozy. And let me just say, man, this was the best Tenkozy match I can remember seeing in God knows how long.
Yeah.
I thought this was great.
Yeah, in 80A, we mentioned in our preview that, you know, we had kind of had this one circled, and the worry was, you know, does Tenkozy have one more match in him that they can pull out of the hat and tape up the hips and get through? They did. I thought this match was one of the better tag title matches that we've seen this year. We've praised the War Machine, and we were thrilled when we found out that they were getting a chance, you know, I don't want to say an extended run, but they have an opportunity to challenge for the belts and possibly win. And we were all kind of earmarking this date and excited for it. And I thought the match delivered. I thought they did a great job.
And I think that the crowd was really into this as well, because now they have a sense of who War Machine is. And yeah. I think that these are two guys who I think you would agree are just tailor-made to work in Japan.
Yeah, they're and especially the tag division, you know, the heavyweight right. tag division. They have the size and that beefy look that they're so in love with. Let me ask you this: who's going to wear this better, Briscoe's War Machine?
I think War Machine, because again, yeah. they have that big brawny beefy build. Right. know, they're two big mean guys, and the Japanese audience loves big, you know, beefy mean guys that will lariato the shit out of you, and that that is what was kind of missing from the Briscoes. I almost want to say the Briscoes would have been better suited for the junior tag division.
I kind of agree with that as well.
You know,
I
like mean, you can see them having like good matches with Roppongi Vice. Obviously the Young Bucks.
I mean, that's when we were screaming more along the lines of mixing up the tag division.
Right. You
know, putting them in, mixing them together.
Now we know that they're not going to do that, though. So it almost seems like the Briscoes were misplaced.
In hindsight, possibly. And again, they've been mistreated, the titles, that is, for as long as we can remember. But I think this is a good thing. I actually think that there's a light at the end of the tunnel with this team. It looks like we're going to get another a rematch, right? So after this match, Tenzan, you know, kind of stating the challenge, hey, you beat us. Let's get another one going. Let's get another match. But also, I looked online, Colin, and I got bad news for you.
What's that?
So online, they had some still photos of War Machine backstage at Sumo Hall. And there was a tag team that looked like, and I didn't get the translations, but it looked like they were going nose to nose with War Machine. Any idea who that tag team might be?
I do not know.
Unfortunately, Colin, it was G.O.D.
Huh. Well, that's interesting, because after this match was over and War Machine captured the titles, Tenzan said, hey, we want a rematch.
Right.
Do us the honor. And War Machine agreed. So, huh.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're just going to stick that in their back pocket and use that later on. You know, I hate to speculate this far out, but the G1 shows might be a good idea to have there. But yeah, I did see the still pictures and I was like, oh, they're back in the mix again.
Well,
G-O-D.
Okay. If you will allow me to be positive for a moment, I know
I like
haven't
this, all right?
done a whole lot of that on the show
no.
today. I'm in a bit of a surly mood, but
all right.
It's not like a War Machine versus G.O.D. match would be bad. I mean, I would even argue that those are the perfect opponents to drag a solid, good match out of G.O.D. And again, it would have to be, you know, a big man clothesline the shit out of each other match. You know, you can't have Tongaloa
out finesse.
Right.
Look, I don't think it's I'm not feeling it. Sorry. I'm not feeling the G.O.D. And I truth be told, I really feel like that's where you see that is in Long Beach. I think that match screams Long Beach.
Oh boy, are you excited for that, Damon? You've got tickets.
I do. And again, we'll talk more about the Long Beach stuff in a second, but no, I'm not looking forward to that if that's the case. And like I said, I just saw the still pictures online, so I don't know when and where, but it looked like G.O.D. was in the mix somewhere around there if and when after the rematch occurs with Tenkozy.
Well, in any case, War Machine, your new IWGP Heavyweight Tag Champions, they're going to have...
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Well-deserved. The Japanese audience was very appreciative of their win and their respect shown towards Tenzan and Kojima. We can look forward to their rematch down the line, and I dare say we can look forward to the G.O.D. match. So, there you go. War Machine, new champs. Moving
and
on.
And Tenkozy, before you move on, we do need to go out of our way to recognize that Tenkozy did have a fucking hell of a match. And Tenzan can barely walk at this point. And
Tenzan's like the Undertaker.
he's a hurting pup. And the fact that we could even get this type of match out of him. And again, I don't think this – I'm not going as high as four on this. But I would go 3.5 on this, right?
Yeah, 3.5. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I mean, you know, they wrestled they wrestled the correct style with War Machine, you know, just it's stiff clotheslines, just, you know, big man burly power moves, you know.
Yeah. There was a lot of War Machine offense that looked eerily similar to Michael Elgin offense, not for nothing.
That's a good point.
It really did look a lot like it was a lot. I was like, wow, A lot of signature Michael Elgin spots that I saw in this match.
And do you know why War Machine bowed to them at the end?
No, was it?
Because they're from Ring of Honor.
Oh.
Yeah. what a terrible joke.
Ooh, Colin's on fire today.
I really am.
On fire. All right, what do we got?
We've got Hirooki Goto taking on Zack Sabre Jr. Sabre challenging for the NEVER Openweight title. I was initially very excited for this match, among all others. However, while I thought that it was a good match and while it was a breath of fresh air with this NEVER title, it didn't exactly live up to my expectations in ring-wise. And what did I say, Damon? What did I say when everyone was all excited that Zack Sabre Jr. joined Suzuki Goon? What did I say? Right. Tell me.
You were worried about the shenanigans, the bullshit.
Exactly. I warned everyone. I said, okay, you're happy he's in Suzuki Goon. Well, get ready for shenanigans in every single match, and that is what we saw. Now, granted, they weren't very long shenanigans, and they did build to something that we're going to see later down the line in Suzuki and Goto, but nevertheless, they were shenanigans. It did disrupt the flow of the match, and I just wasn't very pleased with it overall.
It did disrupt the flow of the match. I did enjoy the match. I liked the story that was told in the match, where Zach, again, a smaller but yet more technically sound, shall we say, wrestler, had the big guy, the beefy guy, as you like to call him, the powerhouse, had him tied up throughout the entire match.
And tied up in a pretzel.
That's correct. At every turn.
You're supposed to say I could go for a pretzel.
I really could go. I'm starving, actually. We saw Zack Sabre Jr. really out-wrestle Goto for the majority of the match. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, the narrative to me that screamed, hey, all that is all well and good, kind of almost to the tune of what the troubles that you had with what I consider to be an outstanding fucking match, but the troubles that you had with Okada and Shibata was that all that wrestling stuff that you did was all cool and all, but at the end of the day, it's really about me being the bigger, tougher guy that just kicked the shit out of you, right?
Right.
And the second thing that kind of stuck me a little bit, and again, I enjoyed the match. I really did. But the other thing that kind of stuck me a little bit was that, that Zach was really just a bridge for Goto to get from point A to point B, right? And point B being a nice program now with Suzuki, which, truth be told, I'm looking forward to tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings about the future program with Suzuki. Number one, it's going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to it. But on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, the NEVER title is now right back where it was with, two older veterans beating the shit out of each other, which isn't a bad thing, but I wanted the NEVER title to get back to, pardon the pun, the genesis of why it was created, to have interesting matchups like this, junior heavyweights versus heavyweights, contrasting styles. On one side, we have the big, beefy, brawling guy. On the other side, we have the junior heavyweight technical wizard. That's interesting to me. Those are matches I want to see, but now it's back to where it was, the Ishii and the Makabe.
But keep in mind that belt still, as rare as it is during the calendar year, that belt still is relied upon to draw.
Oh,
right?
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. And Goto and Suzuki, I mean, you can arguably put that in the main event of a show.
Smaller show, yeah. A smaller show, right? Yeah, absolutely. And they have before. And that was a role that, that easily you can intertwine a Shibata and intertwine an Ishii and intertwine a Goto and intertwine now a Suzuki. While for us to salivate over the ideas of a Zack Sabre Jr., doing his technical wizardry for us, and we can all take our pants down, the truth be told is that belt still has to, in some cases, has to have a body that can sell tickets, right? And I think comparing the names that we mentioned earlier to Zach, I don't think there's any comparison. I think it's important that the people that carry that title are people that can be trusted to draw a house. You're giving it a thumbs in the middle somewhere. Yeah. So I'm gathering you're nowhere near a four.
No, I'm nowhere near a four. I'm in the three somewhere, and it's because I was looking forward to this so much, and there was something missing. And combined that something missing with the interference that disrupts the flow, points were taken off for me. Yeah, it just didn't live up to my expectations. Not a bad match, but not what I expected either. So there you go. Hirooki Goto wins, fights off the Suzuki-gun interference, hits the GTR, and we have Goto versus Suzuki to look forward to down the line, which should be a great program.
Yeah, that's a good program, and that's where they should go with that. I have no problem to finish. I didn't mind the match as much as you did. I thought it was good. I liked it. It wasn't a world beater. I probably wouldn't go four on this, but I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than you. I liked the story that was being told in the match. No worries there. Good.
Alrighty, next match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, semi-main event of the evening, I might add. Takahashi defending against Kushida, and man, I love the story of this match, because let me just set this up. So Kushida, yeah. You know, he drops the title to Takahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. You were there, you saw it, right?
Yes.
And, you know, Kushida's kind of watching Takahashi from the shadows. You know, he's watching his match against Taguchi, he's watching his match against Dragon Lee, and he's saying to himself, boy, you know, this is one crazy motherfucker I'm dealing with, and yep. When I face him again, I have to go all out, balls to the wall. I've got to go for a quick finisher, because I don't want to get in too deep with this guy, because he's nuts.
All right, you're painting it well, go ahead.
Right, so Kushida, you know, Takahashi's making his entrance down the ramp, the balls are dropping. And, yes. You know, people are having fun with them. And Kushida does diving senton to the outside, you know, just total carnage, you know, taking it right to Takahashi, getting them in the hoverboard lock. And Takahashi, able to counter that, does his big giant sunset flip powerbomb onto
Which
the outside.
Yeah, that was deadly.
Hits the time bomb, hits a running Death Valley driver into the turnbuckle, hits another time bomb, 1-2-3. This match lasted, let me see here. This match lasted 1 minute and yep. 56 seconds.
Unbelievable. The absolute best part was that the crowd reaction. They couldn't believe what they just saw. They lost their shit when that happened. And truth be told, me too. There were some, like, somebody had mentioned, and getting back to Mania talk a little bit with Lesnar and Goldberg. And, like,
that was my favorite match, by the way.
What's that?
That was my favorite match from that card. I was there. I loved it.
And, like, name me a match that, you know, that would be, you know, as great. Given, you know, how long did it go? 3 minutes, less than 5 minutes, whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying this was the greatest match in the world, but they went for the shock value on this one, right? They really went out of their way to just rattle you with this finish. And it did. And I think it worked perfectly.
And we haven't seen that in so long in New Japan.
I mean, no, but I don't think anybody... there might be people that would have said, hey, I think this is a Kushida win. And there might be people that might say, hey, this is a Takahashi win. And I think that's fair. No one, I don't think anyone in their right mind would have predicted a 2 minute, I'm going to go so far as to say squash, but this was a win with two fucking exclamation points on it, right? To truly anchor the fact that he is right now the junior heavyweight. He is the junior heavyweight. And while I am a huge Kushida fan, I am thrilled with the fact that they didn't go with a title change. I am thrilled that they have gone all in on Takahashi.
Yes.
Takahashi has taken one fall, right, in that tag match to Kushida. He's taken one fall since he's returned. super protected. This match just put him over the top for me. Look, again, they went for the shock and it worked.
Yep, so Kushida hits the time bomb for the second time, successfully defends his title, and out comes Ricochet.
Kushida, no, Takahashi.
Oh, excuse me.
Takahashi, yeah.
Excuse me, Takahashi.
Yeah.
He does the time bomb.
Yeah.
Takahashi retains the title. Poor Kushida left to reevaluate his position amongst the junior heavyweights, perhaps. And Ricochet steps forward, makes the challenge, and boy, that's sound like a sexy match? Takahashi versus Ricochet.
Yeah, that's one that has the pants down. Let's be honest, that is pants down material. I don't care what show you put it on. That's a sexy match between two guys who go to great lengths to dazzle. So between that lunatic Takahashi and the offense, the disregard for his own body, and the fluidity of a Ricochet, as we've got ourselves a tasty morsel right there. I like this a lot. And again, it's fresh. It feels really fresh. All of this, and I'm a huge Kushida guy, but I like the fact that we're getting him out of the way a little bit. We'll find something else for him to do. There is going to be a redemption, I'm sure, somewhere along the line. I think a lot of people thought this was it. This obviously wasn't. And here's the thing too, Colin. I think we have to tip our hat to Kushida, because he could have, I'm sure, very easily been like, "Fucking, I ain't doing that."
You're saying he could have politicked his way into a longer match?
I mean, listen, we're talking last year. This is the guy with the Super Juniors. This is the guy with the Super J Cup. This is the guy that we were all talking about being the anchor of that division, how he wanted it to be, you know, he wanted to be revered and treated as, you know, and especially the junior tournaments to be looked at like the G1. Yeah, I mean, I think he probably could have said, "Can we go 10 minutes?" You know, I think he probably had earned that. But the fact that he was A-okay with doing what he did, which in essence, again, I don't want to say it was a squash, but this was a double exclamation point loss, big time loss, clean. You can't get a more definitive type of loss here. And hats off to him for going along with the program and being a professional and making it happen. Good for him.
And you know what else a match like this does? It kind of brings that unpredictability factor back to pro wrestling. Like the fact that a match really could last 2 minutes. You know, there's no guarantee that that it's going to go 20 minutes, 30 minutes. This thing could be over in the blink of an eye. And yeah. I kind of think that in some ways is missing from pro wrestling in general. And I was happy to see New Japan kind of embrace that here.
I agree 100%. That it's the in this day and age, there has to be some element of surprise. And when there is, it's exciting. And the reason why you don't see that is because who the fuck wants to be the guy that loses in 2 minutes?
Right.
Right?
And I'm not saying do this every time either.
Right.
I'm saying once in a while, boy, when something like this happens,
yeah,
it's exciting.
It gets you excited. Yeah, it gets you excited, gets you talking about it. And again, my hat's off to Kushida for having the balls to do it. I mean, it takes two to tango. I mean, the guy winning looks great. The guy losing doesn't look that great. I mean, how does Kushida walk out of this looking good? He doesn't, but he's willing to take the punch and for the betterment of the company.
All righty, IWGP Heavyweight Title match, Okada defending against Katsuyori Shibata. Man, what more can we say about this match that we didn't at the beginning?
Give me stars. That's what I want to hear from you. I want to hear stars.
Right off the top of my head, I'm in the 4.5 to 4.75 range. I'm not gonna go. I have a feeling you're going 5 with this one.
I'm going 5, brother.
Wow.
I'm going 5.
Wow.
I'm going 5. Absolutely. I think this is the second best match of the year. And I would go so far as to say, Colin, that I would not have a problem if somebody came up to me and said, "You know what? I think this was match of the year." And I bet you the people that were in Sumo Hall walking out of there saying that was match of the year.
It's a good point. Again, the only thing that detracted from my overall enjoyment of this match is what I perceive to be the Superman booking. You know, all of everything that Shibata did, everything that he brought out from his bag of tricks, at the end, it just didn't affect Okada. Okada just kind of shrugged it off and hit a Rainmaker, he's on his way to do the same to Bad Luck Fale.
He did. I don't think it was that bad. I don't see that. But again, I'm not going to be able to talk you out of that. I'm going to full marks. I mean, like I said, I'm sitting in a house empty. The ladies went out, had the house to myself, and I think her neighbors thought there was a murder occurring because I was screaming at some of the. Oh, Colin, the headbutt once again. Once again, the fucking headbutt. And once again, the production team for New Japan Pro Wrestling did it again. And they zoomed in right at the right time with that one trickle of blood just rolled down his face. And he looked like a maniac. Oh, fucking. And those kicks, Colin. And he's holding on to Okada. And Shibata is just fucking teeing off. And then there were spots in there where Okada was, you know, he had to show some balls and he had to show some fight. And he was just laying into Shibata and the drop kick into the guardrail. Oh, come on. This match was fucking great, Colin. Fucking tremendous match.
It was. I agree. And going back to that headbutt, boy, Shibata really has to know what he's doing there, because every time.
He's a loon.
Every time he does it, though, if you notice, he knows how to bust himself open. Like you can hear the thud. It's like two coconuts.
Yeah.
And it's always Shibata who has the trickle of blood, and his opponent is always fine.
Kinda.
Well, you know, my point is he's not busted open. I just find it very interesting that Shibata, he almost has this down to a science, this headbutt.
That's sickening, isn't it?
It is.
He has that down to a science. Look, I'd be shocked if I didn't see fives across the board from you know, all the leading publications online.
Like NewJapanPuroCast.com?
Listen, I'm telling you right now, Damon gives it the five. I know that there were lots of people, you know, especially, you know, I looked on the classic board. I haven't gone on Reddit this morning, but I'm sure that they were going batshit crazy there. It was a great match, man. I'm sorry. I thought this was the second best match of the year. In a year where we had also the Elgin Naito match, we had Ishii Omega. We've had Tanahashi Naito from the Dome.
Second best match of the year for me is Dragon Lee versus Takahashi.
There you go. I mean, you had that. I mean, there's so many matches that flirt with five and have gotten five. you know. It's April, and like I said, here in April, to me, your MVP is Okada. Your MVP is Okada.
I'm not going to argue with that.
He is wrestler, and again, it's a long year. I get it. It's a long year. Nobody's touching him right now. Nobody's touching him.
You just got to sell the leg a little more, please. That's all I ask. Sell the leg a little more.
Oh, Colin, you're a maniac. All right, so that's that. That's the show. I think overall. Thumbs up. You're going 4.5 stars, 4 3/4. Not quite giving it the five. I'm giving it the five. Overall, the show, I enjoyed a lot. I thought it was a really good show. Colin, I think you said you enjoyed it as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, nothing bad at all from top to bottom. Even the matches, such as the junior tag title match that mm-hmm. we didn't have high expectations for, over-delivered, in my opinion. So a quality show.
Absolutely.
Maybe even, you know, taking Wrestle Kingdom out of the equation, best show of the year thus far.
It's up there. That main event delivered, man. And again, the shock of the junior. That was a fun ride. It was a very enjoyable show. Very good. Very good job by New Japan, as always. All right.
Well, Damon, so before we wrap up today's episode, we have a few odds and ends to touch upon. Number one, you want to talk about Long Beach?
Yeah, we absolutely have to, because it's historic, Colin Miller.
It is.
you know, they sold out. And again, it varies the numbers that you hear, anywhere from like 25, 22, 24, 3,000 tickets per show, both of these shows. And I'm one of those guys that got online, hopped online, and those tickets went fast, man. I'm in the fifth row for the first show, and I think I'm in the seventh row for the second show. They went fast, man. And that's – I don't think – listen, we talked about this. We knew that these shows were going to go quick, but we didn't have any idea that they were going to go that quick. It was like 20 minutes. 20 minutes, these tickets were pretty much evaporated. And these are fans that scooped in here. They knew what they wanted. It wasn't like the scalpers got in and sucked them up, because the secondary markets, there really aren't a lot of tickets out there, like in your StubHubs and everything like that. The next time they come to town, and they will come again, I guarantee it, they will come again, because I think they were very thrilled with the reception that the tickets moved at. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a bigger building. I mean, where else? Who's doing these type of numbers? You know, back-to-back nights? Who's doing these type of numbers?
Let me ask you this. So since the sales were so successful, to put it mildly, for these Long Beach shows, how do you think they would fare if they announced a show in, say, New York City?
I think they would do well. Here's the thing, though. Here's what keeps them away from actual New York City is probably the production costs and the fact of doing a show there, even though it might not be televised. If it's going back to New Japan World, that might be an issue. Yeah, I mean, listen, I strongly think that if they were strategical, they could do well in a lot of different markets. Keep in mind, the people – there was no advertising for this show. The word got out from us, not for nothing. Us, the Reddit group, the Classic Board, podcasts like the flagship Voices of Wrestling show, even, you know, what was it, the Strong Style guys that do a podcast. I'm sure that they talked about it. You know, so that's how these things got. It wasn't Access TV, right?
No, Access TV doesn't do shit.
Right, they're not promoting. I mean, and they're trying. I will give them the benefit of the doubt. They're trying to get their shows more current, and there is going to be stuff in the works. And like I said, this at least the Saturday show looks to be the live show, and the Sunday show looks to be on some kind of delay, but eventually will air on Access as well, from what I understand. But it's the fans that made this happen. It wasn't anything else. Like, tell me where it was the fans that made this happen, which is outstanding. And there are people that have traveled and are traveling, me included, for these shows. And trust me, in the beginning, Colin, it was, well, these shows are going to be, you know, we see these guys a lot and blah, blah, blah. They go to Ring of Honor. These aren't Ring of Honor shows. And I've been saying it from the jump that these don't treat these shows like Ring of Honor shows. Regardless, the people did. And they responded in time. And in turn, here's what I would ask, though. When we are all there and we sell out that building and the meet and greets, Colin, they're sold out. It was a huge success.
I think they were only $10, the meet and greets.
Yeah, they were. It was $10 to get in. I don't know who's going to be available. So, and you'll probably have to pay per person that you get.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, so it's $10 to have the ability to do the meet and greet. That's my understanding. I could be dead wrong, but that's how I understand it. Spend money there, guys. Spend money. Spend what you can. There's a lot of people that are really – putting their pennies together to make this happen, just to get in the building. Make this an undeniable success for New Japan, and they will return in spades. That's the one thing that we need to do as fans is, hey, you know what? Support them financially, because that's going to make them come back. Again, the ticket sales blew them away. I know that, but yeah, really make it worth their time. A lot of people flying in from all over the country. There was no promotion in like Long Beach or anything like that. These shows sold out on the backs of the people who are passionate about this product.
And the thing is, if you're an English-speaking fan who watches New Japan Pro Wrestling, chances are you're pretty engrossed in the internet wrestling community, shall we say. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it just goes to show you the power of the internet in spreading the word, getting the word out. You know, like you said, Reddit, various podcasts, ourselves included.
I'm not saying this to be, you know, pat
smug
myself.
Smug Damon.
Smug Damon. But listen, I think we play a factor in this. There's nobody else that's been doing a New Japan podcast for as long as we have. There's people that have done wrestling podcasts, and again, I think that they deserve credit as well. But you know, every week we're out here talking about the product, and hopefully, you know, one of our goals is, you know, not only to talk about this, but to get new people to enjoy the product. And I hopefully we're doing a good job of that. I think we are. But there was no promotion for this. It was word of mouth. People who enjoy the product, and really people making, you know, by any means necessary, getting their asses to these shows because they know it's a special thing. And here's the thing: it's a special thing, man. It's going to be two nights that are going to be pretty fun. Speaking of which, Colin, we've organized with the fine people on that Reddit New Japan board, right? And we've also organized with some people from the Classic board. So we're going to have a combination, a three-way dance, if you will.
Oh, my.
A meetup, right? So after the Saturday show, we're going to get together at a location yet to be named. And we're all going to meet up. And I think we're going to get a lot of people. I just spent 5 minutes talking about it. If you're going to these shows, you're somewhere, either a listener of us on the NJPW subreddit or the Classic board. If you're in one of those three, you're guaranteed. So come out. There's a sign up sheet. Go to Reddit. It's pinned post. So we're all going to do a meetup. I'll be there. The missus will be there, and we're gonna have a fun time. Lots of drinking. Lots of eating. And it'll be after the Saturday show. So I'm sure lots of fun and lots of things to talk about. So we are going to be doing an official meetup after that first Long Beach show.
I'll be there via hologram.
You're going to see.
Yeah, exactly. Just have me on FaceTime. I'll be there on my couch, you know.
Hey, listen, you might be the most comfortable guy there. So speaking of comfortableness. So, yes, I definitely wanted to make mention of that. So look for that pinned post on the Reddit, the NJPW Reddit board.
Now, speaking of these shows, most likely airing on Access TV, we do have to talk about the commentary situation for NJPW on Access TV, because I think the word is out by now that good old JR has signed a new 2-year deal with WWE. Yep. He's headed back. He's going to honor the remaining dates that he has with Access TV. Now, my question is, are we going to see Mauro Ranallo, who looks to be on his way out, or maybe he is already out, are we going to see him make a return alongside his broadcasting partner, Mr. Josh Barnett?
I would love it. I think that would be the most ideal scenario. Listen, the shitstorm that has occurred with the Meltzer doing a good job at it, Dave Meltzer, you know, kind of opening some people's eyes that may not be all that familiar about how not only the working conditions in WWE can be, but also, I mean, not for nothing. Listen, I know lots of people that have not nice things to say about Bradshaw, JBL, whatever you want to call him.
You heard him take a shit.
I've been sat next to him as he defecated. It was awful. It was the worst experience of my life.
There you go.
He kept berating me. He belittled me. He belittled the size of my turd, my bowel movement. Just kidding, of course. No, but I mean, that situation has really taken a life of its own, the Mara situation, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy, you know, is very public with the challenges that he has on a daily basis with mental health issues and struggles, and good for him for being a champion of that cause. Listen, he doesn't need some you know, jerk off, pardon the French, you know, giving him a hard time in a work environment in a company that goes bends over backwards to have this public image of be a star, you know, when you have all this horse shit going on in the background. But Jim Ross is look, that's his home. We know it, right? And I feel very happy for him in that sense. But again, I always like to say where there is where things go south, there are opportunities that come about. So yeah, it does look like that Mauro is on his way out. Again, nothing is official from the WWE perspective, but you know, if you look at his Twitter account, apparently there's all references to WWE is gone.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean that's that.
And truth be told, Mauro Ranallo is a combat sports broadcaster. And yeah, the closest thing, in my opinion anyway, that you can get to, you know, a combat sport in pro wrestling is New Japan. I mean, take a look at the main event we just saw. Shibata versus Okada. I would show that to a lot of my MMA fans, friends. And I have faith that if I sat them down and they watched that match, they would get enjoyment out of it.
I think casual fans, longtime fans, MMA fans, I think it'd be hard. I would be hard pressed to find somebody who couldn't watch that match and be like, wow, that was pretty fucking awesome. But for the announcing situation, again, nothing is official. Nothing is confirmed. I don't know if they're going to make Jim Ross do that, but it does make it interesting. In the sense that he's a WWE employee right now. He has a contract that he signed for a specific amount of dates with WWE, and he's going to do a live broadcast for New Japan, who, let's be honest here, is really WWE's lone competition at this point. And that's not saying that they are neck and neck, and that's not saying that, you know, New Japan is biting at their heels. But that's a bad look for WWE, and I'm sure they're going to do everything in their power to make that not happen. That's a perfect opportunity for Mauro to step in, and fingers crossed. I really hope so, because to me, that's his home. If WWE is Jim Ross's home, Mauro needs to be involved in this New Japan expansion. He really does. And I'm sure there is a way that we can get the Kevin Kellys of the world involved and keep that position and sire, and nobody loses their job. But to me, I think there's room for a talented guy who, you know, this product helped make him, his name, a household name in the world of pro wrestling announcing, and vice versa. So let's see if we can make that happen.
Absolutely. So there you have it. That is the show for today, folks. And coming up next on the schedule, we've got a Lionsgate show coming up on April 13th, in case you're interested. And then on the 22nd and the 23rd, we're going to be on the road to Wrestling Dontaku. Again, they're coming up Saturday and Sunday, the 22nd and the 23rd. So
give us the multi-man. Get ready for your multi-man tag.
Yep, get ready for your favorite, Damon, your five-man LIJ. You know,
guarantee it. I would cut off a toe if we didn't see one.
All right, anything else you would like to add today, Damon, before
listen, I think we covered all the bases, right? We reviewed a show.
Yep.
Talked about
show.
These Long Beach shows. We got the Jim Ross situation. We covered the Gaijin Collectibles. We covered the meetups. We did it all today. I think we got a solid show. I'm exhausted. I need something to eat.
Alrighty, I'm on the same page with you. So I'm going to wrap this up here. Thank you so much, everyone, as always, for all of your support, always listening to us. I know that there are so many of you out there who look forward to starting your week or wrapping up your weekend by listening to the New Japan Purocast, and we are eternally grateful for that. We think it's so cool that a lot of you guys are listening to us on your commutes to work, your walks to school, whatever. You know, it's all about spreading the gospel of New Japan, getting the word out, and spreading overall goodwill about the product. So we would not be where we are right now without you guys. So thank you very much. Remember, NewJapanPurocast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Listen to the episodes right on there as they are uploaded. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, the whole bit. Gaijincollectibles.com, again, our great sponsor. You get all of your Puro merch from there, and voicesofwrestling.com as well. You can listen to us. We're usually up on there every Monday afternoon, and they've got so many different shows for any taste you may have. So check them out. And that is all. We are going to be back here next week, same time, same place. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. Catch you guys next week.